face, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. He's an argumentative Mr. Weber on the board today. We have Mr. Michaels with us in a bit. We have S&P futures up, 9.5. Dow futures up 66. NASDAQ futures up 50. But bouncing around, we're up more last night. Obviously, it's the day after a pretty nasty day in Washington. A lot of crazy stuff going on. And, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff to think about on a lot of levels, but the bottom line is you don't go run down the block and pile into the Capitol, and you don't see the Capitol police. I don't know how the hell they weren't prepared, but they weren't. But there were awful, but there were millions of police about 11:30 at night after everybody was gone. I don't know. Lou, how are you, bud?
Good morning, sir.
I need a Zantac for our buddy Mr. Weber this morning. He's all fired up.
Well, let me before we
more embarrassed
before we roll
than anything.
Into what happened at the Capitol yesterday, and actually some of what happened out here in Denver. Did you guys have any demonstrations in Chicago?
No, Wisconsin did. Michigan, I think, did. We didn't. We're too broke. We can't get down there. We don't have any
money. That's probably true. Well, demonstrating again, it's the incompetence of Denver city officials. A couple of hundred people showed up at the Capitol, and Denver promptly closed every one of its city offices. The incompetence here is stunning. But before we attack that, I wanted to throw out a development in that West Point cheating scandal story that we had, and talk a little bit about it, because I think now that God help us, we have a unified government. I think this is, we're going to start seeing more of this, or we're going to start seeing more of it out in the open. You remember we talked about this, I think, last week, where we had the West Point had identified 75 or so cadets who had ostensibly cheated in a calculus exam. This was back in May, and they haven't taken any action against them. West Point, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, Merchant Marine all have an honor code that at least when I was there was enforced very strictly, but has been modified since because apparently the politics of the situation are that we can't really stand a system that forces people out for lying, cheating, stealing, or in the cases where they get the most kids, knowledge of these things without reporting it. So the codes have been modified to allow for more of a rehabilitation kind of approach. You get kicked out for really serious stuff, but for quote less serious offenses or offenses where there's some mitigation, the codes allow for sort of a rehabilitation type approach where the cadets are suspended from all extracurricular activities.
A lot of them have played football though.
Well here it's actually worse than that. I thought it was a football issue. Almost all of the people involved, the great majority, were athletes. A number of them were football players. I think 25 or 30 were football players. I thought it was a football issue. What happens at Air Force when these things have arisen is that the football players are removed from the team. In fact, that's a similar situation happened with Air Force's starting quarterback this fall. He was placed on this rehabilitation status. I don't know if it was for an honor violation, but it can happen for a number of things, but he was placed on this rehabilitation status, and that removed him from playing football. You're not allowed to do any extracurricular activities. That typically is what happens, and would normally have happened within a matter of, you know, a week or two of them discovering all this. None of this has happened at West Point. And I finally read a excerpt of a memo that the superintendent sent to the faculty saying, we can't really enforce the code the way we want to because it would have an adverse impact on specific groups of cadets.
I'm still going crazy over 25 people on a football team are taking calculus. Maddie, hit Google. Find out if any other school in this country has 25 kids on a football team taking calculus. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I would take a high no on that.
Do you know what the last really big cheating scandal at West Point involved? Electrical engineering, and that happened while I was at Air Force back in 1976, and they had a bunch of people, including a bunch of athletes, who were conniving on an electrical engineering exam. And again, the reaction in 1976 was the same reaction you just had, where they said, wait a minute, you've got a bunch of athletes who are taking electrical engineering?
Yes. What's wrong with this picture?
These are core courses. You have to take them. So, of course, the superintendent's language was basically code, as it seems to have turned out, for we have a number of the vast majority of cadets involved in this thing were minority cadets. And so we can't kick out a bunch of guys who are minorities because that would create problems for us in terms of the perception of the way we're running the program. And I don't need to tell you that's anathema to anybody who's lived under that kind of a system. And it really sends out what I consider to be a totally unacceptable message. That, by the way, is really roiling the graduate community. A totally unacceptable message that, you know, if you're a minority, we're going to readjust the tenets of some of the most basic conduct standards that we have in order to accommodate your conduct.
I would tell you one person who would agree with you, if he was, of course, people can always quote people that are dead. I would say Martin Luther King would agree with you.
I think so too. Again, the military has been used for social experimentation before and will in the future because it's easy to do. But the idea that we are going to start treating people differently because of their race or gender or some other kind of
or whether they play football
characteristic like this is going to create real morale problems. More importantly, it can create real performance problems.
Well, the whole idea, as you always accuse our friend Mr. Weber, actually, I thought he was getting better until this morning, but you accuse him of being a moral relativist. We're getting that way as a society. I mean, that's wrong. You can't do that. You can't steal from somebody. But no, wait
well,
a minute.
The idea that you would apply civilian tenets, employment law tenets, like affirmative action or this kind of thought process to an organization that is absolutely pass fail on any number of issues is nuts. As anybody will tell you, the battlefield is not an equal opportunity employer. We get into this fight back in the 70s when women were being admitted to the service academies with the idea of whether we should put women in combat positions. That debate was ended by executive fiat in the Clinton administration in the early 1990s. I think it was a mistake because there was never the debate that I think we needed to have over how, you know, we were going to adapt to having women in these positions. There are some combat positions clearly like pilots or armored vehicle drivers, where the inherent differences between men and women don't matter. You know, the machines are doing the fighting, and the machine operator can be male, female, whatever. But in situations like good old fashioned slugging it out on the ground combat, it makes a huge difference whether you've got women in certain positions or a large number of women in certain positions, because it affects the physical integrity of the group. All of this gets sloughed over, and this West Point decision, I think, sends a terrible message to not only the Corps of Cadets or the Cadet Wing or the Brigade, that was what they're known at Annapolis, but it sends a pretty bad message, I think, to the rest of the country. you know, if we're going to have standards, then the standards have to be applied to everybody equally. And if not, if we're going to start applying standards based on whatever, take your pick, we rapidly undermine the morale and the confidence that we need to have as a democracy in our military. And that's, we're going to get into real trouble. And we can get into real trouble very quickly if something like this becomes widespread. Air Force had not a similar issue in the sense of an honor violation, but a similar issue in terms of a racial disparity in the response to a problem because of race a couple of years ago, when a black cadet, I believe it was at the prep school, supposedly found a racist comment on his message board outside of his room. The superintendent of the academy, without doing proper investigation, launched this kind of diatribe at the cadet wing, saying, you know, you gays in this kind of conduct, we're not going to tolerate it, blah, 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 blah. You know, whoever did this, we're going to find you and kick you out, and et cetera, et cetera. All of this on the presumption that there were a bunch of racists in the cadet wing, and because this has been directed against a black cadet. Well, as it turned out, the black cadet himself wrote the racist message on the whiteboard. The superintendent made a bad mistake. He was widely lauded, by the way, for his remarks by the mainstream press. The soup, having jumped to a conclusion that was not supported by the evidence and then been proven wrong about it, never apologized, never came back and said, you know what, this was a mistake, but let me clarify my remarks. If you engage in racially divisive conduct, you're out of here. And never said anything like that, and was never called on it. And again, the graduate community listened to this, and I mean, within the folks I deal with, fairly wide political spectrum. But people said, "What? You know, how come there's no accountability here for this guy, for the soup?" The cadet, the prep school candidate, was I think he was allowed to resign. I think there should have been some disciplinary action taken against him. But again, this kind of double standard in play really has a significant effect on the way that these people, the troops, the officer corps, look at each other. And so not just from the immediate effect of when this class of cadets graduates, and I think these guys were all fourth classmen, so they'll be in 3 years, so class of 2023. When these guys graduate, what are they going to be looked at by their fellow officers? And worse yet, if you're a minority cadet at West Point and you come into the officer corps, you know, are you going to be identified as an affirmative action baby or somebody who had special dispensation cut for you because of your race? This is the issue with affirmative action programs generally. When you have people who are legitimate superstars,
well, look at the Lori Lightfoot mayorship is the most incredible affirmative action I've ever seen. Now the question is, are they competent? Of course,
right.
You know, of course, were the people before them competent? Who knows? But you know, it's not,
they're never given the chance.
No.
If they come in, if they come in under the affirmative action program, the assumption is you weren't good enough to make the grade that everybody else had to make. We had to cut a special exception for you, and it's not fair. I mean, I think it's racist or sexist or ageist or whatever you're trying to promote in the extreme, because it creates an assumption that you know, you, whoever you are, you weren't good enough. We had to alter the standards for you. And again, in the civilian company, you do that often enough, you're simply going to blow up and the company will fail. In a military unit, people get killed, the national policy objectives of the United States fail. And we end up losing a battle, a war, some other awful circumstance. So my concern is that this kind of thing has worked its way into our educational system. It's now working its way into our military and our training facilities. And I'm afraid we're going to start seeing, or we will see more of it. It's the basis for it has been sitting out there for a number of years. It's progressed now to a point where I think it's a real mistake. But this West Point situation just crystallizes it in my mind, and it's
Luke,
it's
could
something
you,
that ought to be looked at.
Could we, since you're the only guy that I know probably has a clue of how this works, could we possibly talk a little bit yesterday here in the office as all this stuff was going on in Washington? What are the unique, I don't know, Maddie, help me out here. What are the uniqueness of the District of Columbia in regards to state police, National Guard, all the stuff yesterday about somebody trying to call out the National Guard and the Justice Department saying no or Trump saying no? Does District of Columbia, start from the beginning, does the District of Columbia have a National Guard?
Yes. There's a D.C. National Guard.
No,
National Guards operate in a dual capacity. They are creatures of state law, but they are also creatures of federal law. And the National Guard is typically called out by the governor of a state, not a mayor, but a governor of a state, in response to natural disasters, riots, whatever.
Is the mayor of D.C. also considered, quote, the governor of D.C.?
No.
And how does that work?
That's where it gets interesting.
Okay, so nobody could explain that yesterday, and I said, I will ask Lou in the morning, which is what I'm doing.
I mean, my understanding of the way it operates is that the mayor of D.C., in order to bring in National Guard elements, has to go through the Department of Defense. There's a liaison at the department.
It seemed like that's what was happening, and what you were getting back from the press, and you know, it probably was, is that somehow the Justice Department DK'd them at the beginning, and then somebody else, then they ended up getting the Virginia National Guard and then Maryland. I mean, how does that all work its way through?
Well, the Virginia National Guard, which I thought was incredibly stupid, that governor ought to get hit over the head. I don't know about the Maryland Guard being authorized, but I know Virginia was mobilized. So those troops get mobilized, but they only have jurisdiction within the state of Virginia. They are mobilized. They could be mobilized for riot control. They could be mobilized for natural disaster response. They could be mobilized for example, assistance in the pandemic. They are basically, they supplement the state's ability for law enforcement, disaster response, specialized things like that.
How many people would be in, if you can, just wherever you think is the beginning, start there, because everything you say something brings me up another question. How many people would be in the D.C. National Guard? Would they all be at work? I mean, there's nobody just sitting there in a barracks. I mean, how do you even call these people out on an hour's notice, whoever they
are? Okay, so let's start with basic guard, National Guard rules. The National Guard is a entity of state control in its normal role. It is provided with funding for vehicles, weapons, training to augment the Department of Defense in time of war. So National Guard units are typically integrated organizations with specific military roles for the active side, the active force, and then they are generic operations for a state. So for example, in Nebraska or in Illinois. All right, Illinois has an Army Guard and an Air Guard. I don't believe the Navy has a National Guard component, or the Marines. Those are all reservists. But Army and Air Force Guard units are prevalent and exist in, I think, in almost every state. The Illinois Air Guard units were F-16s, and they were maintained down in Springfield. There was an actual fighter unit at Springfield, and it was manned full-time by people who are full-time National Guard employees. They are state employees, 99% of the time, they're state employees, paid and authorized under a specific part of federal law, and their operations are federally funded. The state of Illinois kicks in something, I think, for personnel support, but the state of Illinois is obviously not buying F-16 fighter bombers. and you know, zooming them around. Okay. So the Air Guard has a specific role of augmenting Air Force operations, and they do some state functions. They perform flybys at certain events, things like that. But they're mainly a federal agency, but again authorized as a sort of reserve unit within the state. And it's a, you know, it's a lot of money. It'd be a lot of money to, for the state.
Are these guys and ladies decent pilots? Are they you know, the rear unit?
Some of them are spectacularly good pilots.
Okay.
But more importantly, because they are assigned as a unit together for, like, you know, their lives, they integrate pretty well within their unit. Now, they don't necessarily integrate that well with active duty units because they don't train with active duty units that often. Army Guard outfits are substantially, substantially different because the Army Guard has a legitimate state role in terms of civil defense, augmenting, you know, state police and riot situations, delivering relief in natural disasters. So the Illinois Guard, for example, Army Guard, flies helicopters. And those helicopters can be used to evacuate civilians from particular places. In the western states, for example, the Army Guard flies big, heavy Chinook helicopters. One of the things they do is they drop bales of hay out of those things for cattle in the event of you know, blizzards. Their vehicles can be used to evacuate people out of, you know, snowbound passes and things like that. So, and when they do that, they're operating under state law. And again, like the Air Guard, there are full-time National Guard, they're called technicians, National Guard employees who maintain the operation of the National Guard full time. They are like an Army unit or they're like an Air Force unit, but they operate under state law until they are federalized.
Your basic training and stuff, though, is that do you go to a Army boot camp or is it the
yes.
National Guard is their own?
Yeah.
Okay.
You go through Army to get to be, for example, in an Army Guard unit. You go to active duty Army basic training. You're trained usually with active duty troops in whatever weapon system you're going to be specializing in, whether it's helicopters, tanks, APCs, whatever. And then you would report to your guard unit, and that's where you would train regularly. Part of your training would be integrating your unit with active duty forces, so you get to see what they're doing. But typically, guard units don't have frontline stuff. They've got second tier equipment.
All right, so let's kick back if we can. Let's kick back to yesterday, and let's assume nobody had any idea that the president's words or whatever. I mean, without getting somehow or another, these guys are going to run down the block and take over Congress. Let's put it that way. Let's keep it generic. How quickly?
I'll challenge that. I don't think the people who penetrated into the Capitol were doing anything but an attempt to just disrupt things and make noise.
Okay, well,
but they were. Right. They didn't break it. Did they? I don't think they broke anything. Did they?
Well, somebody got killed.
Well, that wasn't Steve's kill. She was standing outside a door between two police officers, and one fired through the door, which is one of the most reckless things you can imagine. And you know, again, inconsistent in terms of response to rioting generally.
Right, my question is,
I didn't get the impression that these people were vandalizing anything. I think they were there having a real good time once they got in broke into the building.
Half of them had their phones up. Let's say they run down the block. They're doing some stuff. What is the lead time on the DC National Guard getting there? It can't be like a half hour.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know how they're organized to respond. What I do believe, if I'm remembering my jurisdiction correctly, is that the mayor has to go to DOD, a liaison at DOD or DOJ, and I'm not sure which one it is, but the mayor has to pick the phone up and say, we got this going down, I need the National Guard, I need my National Guard people out in the streets now. And that can be done, but you know, DC is not a state. So when you say National Guard's gonna come up on this, it's a federal response immediately. It's not a quote state response. It's a federal response. So these people operate under federal...
But if I'm in the National Guard, which they wouldn't want me at my age, I'm sitting here managing money for people, and all of a sudden, what, my bat phone goes off and I head off? Like if I'm in, it's like a TV show? I mean, I can't be sitting at the barracks.
Something like that, yeah. There are full-time National Guard people that would be mobilized immediately, but in the event that we needed a National Guard response, a certain percentage, maybe even the majority percentage, of these folks would get exactly that. They would get, I mean, Chief, when 9/11 happened, I was a reservist. When 9/11 happened, I got a phone call that afternoon from my commanding people saying, how fast can you be at your duty station? And I said, 24 hours. And they said, get your bags packed and stand by. That's how it goes. So, yeah, you'd get a call from somebody saying, all right, we're mobilizing.
Well, it wasn't going to be 24 hours if there was no planes. How the hell are you going to get there?
I'm sorry?
I said they took every plane out of the air. How the hell are you going to get there?
I was going to drive.
Wow.
I mean this is this isn't some ad hoc response operation. These are things, if you're in the Guard or you're in the Reserve, you plan for this. You have your uniforms all set up. You have a bag ready to go. You can be deployed within, you know, a very short time frame. Now, for example, again, DC has a number of people who are on full time duty. So
that B-52 has been remodeled four times since you were on it.
9/11. In 9/11, the minute they figured out what was happening, there were fighter jets in the skies over Washington, D.C. Those fighter jets came from the D.C. National Guard. They were F-16s on alert at Andrews Air Force Base, and they were scrambled for intercept purposes, and those were Guard pilots.
Now, those guys, they have to have gone to an Air Force base to train. You know, you're not going to learn.
They all went through flight. They all went through pilot training. A large number of the National Guard folks are folks who were on active duty for 5-10 years, who decided to get out, but they wanted to maintain federal contact or a federal retirement pay, or they just liked doing what they were doing, so they stayed. They stayed on duty with the Guard.
Well, so there's a difference between Air Force or Army Reserve and the Guard.
Well, the Air Force Guard guys almost never have state missions. Okay, right. If they're flying, they are almost always flying in a federal capacity.
Okay.
They've been federalized, and they're under control of the Department of Defense.
All right, let's do this. Let's just after break.
The Army people.
Let's do this after break. SBFU's up 16. NASFU's up 90. We got our money supply numbers today. Tomorrow we'll talk about what the Fed did this week to do whatever they're doing to the market. But crazy, crazy morning. We're trying to make sense of all this and who does what where before everybody accuses people. I don't know. I find it fascinating how this all works. But anyway, we'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holley. Just Matt Weber on the board. A feisty Matt Weber this morning. S&P futures up 18. NASDAQ futures up 92. Actually, he's always pretty feisty. Dow futures up 70. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 58.4%. FTSE down 33. Now, they were up a bunch yesterday. It's 0.5%. CAC round up 17.3. So actually pretty quiet over there. Over in Nikkei is up 434. It's 1.6%. Shanghai up 25.7. Hang Seng down 143.5%. China telecom shares are down. We're not sure why that is, but some stuff is happening there. Yesterday, as a review, all this is going on. The Dow is up 437, 4.5%. S&P up 21.6%. Not exactly sure what people think Joe Biden's going to do to Goldman Sachs. The stock is like going up by 50% since the guy got elected. I mean, what deals he made with those people? I mean, and Caterpillar was up a whole bunch too. What do we think's happening there? I'm having trouble figuring this all out. NASDAQ down 78, it's 0.6%. Bonds, which are over, now are 1.05, so they're marching up even more today. The Bunds still minus 0.56. Japan, however, a little breakout to the upside. Positive 0.04, it's been positive 0.02 since Labor Day at least. Now it's 0.04. Oil up 25 cents, 50.88. Brent up 4 cents, 54.34. Natural gas down a penny, 2.69. RBOB unchanged at 147. RBOB was creeping up pretty much every day. It was 130 something a few weeks ago. Now it's 147. I don't think you're going to get gas under $2 a gallon anytime soon. Gold up 7.30 to 19.15. It was close to 19.45 a couple days ago. So it went down. Now it's come back up. Silver up 16 cents, 27.20. Copper unchanged at 3.65, but it's pretty high. Platinum down $5, 11.05. Maybe what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a crash already ready on I-80 eastbound just before getting on to the I-55 northbound Stevenson. This crash is blocking the left lane and causing some delays on I-80 near Joliet on the eastbound side. So keep that in mind if you're heading in that direction. But everything else is all quiet out there. No issues coming in on Orion, I-57 or the Bishop Ford. Stevenson and Eisenhower are quiet. Same for the Edens and Kennedy. Lakeshore Drive looking good. Weather today, it's going to be a high of 37, and we could see some sunshine later on, but the temperature will stay right where we're at right now, which is 37 degrees, and then we'll see the sun peek through later on, but it's overcast this morning. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 71 today. Right now it's clear and 42. In sports, the Bulls were in action last night, second half of a back-to-back, and they were tied after three quarters with the Kings, but Sacramento outlasted the Bulls in the fourth, winning 128-124, dropping the Bulls back to one game below 500. Suns beat the Raptors 123-115. Chief.
Lewis was having a discussion with Mr. Weber on the way in about yesterday's riots, or whatever you want to call them. Occupation of the.
By the way, we have people on Twitter saying, "Did you guys not see all the windows being broken yesterday and stuff being stolen and,
I did.
And damaged?" Okay, you guys said nothing happened.
I didn't say that.
Or one
oh no, I did.
It.
I did. I didn't see anything on the reports that I saw. What was stolen?
There was apparently stuff off people's desks. There was a lot of things damaged. Windows were being broken, and that's how people got in certain areas.
Souvenirs.
Yeah, different souvenirs. Not like paintings off the walls or anything that I've seen so far.
Nobody toppled any statues. Nobody defaced
not that
photographs
I saw, no.
or paintings.
Was not all that Manny, was not all that obvious on the feeds that I was watching. I say what exactly they were doing. I had no idea by watching the TV. It wasn't like
I saw some guy. I saw some guy carrying what looked like a podium.
That'd be something in your living room.
I don't think he walked out with it. I think he just picked it up so he could get a photo op with it. I mean, look, I'm not going to justify what happened. I think the Capitol Police did a crappy job in defending the place. I'm kind of glad that members of our ruling elite got a little taste of what the average citizen was getting during the riots here in Denver and New York and Chicago and, you know, a number of other places where you had average citizens out walking, suddenly finding themselves accosted and threatened by people. You know, I'm kind of glad the Congress got a little taste of that. But I'm not going to condone what happened. It was bad. I don't like the idea of people storming the place when Congress is in session. I thought the police did a terrible job. You know, you have, I don't know how big the crowd was, but you have a crowd of a couple hundred thousand people. It doesn't surprise me that you've got somewhere in the middle of that, you've got nutcases, and I don't know whether they were, you know, right-wing types, anarchists, you know, whatever. But I think the guy with the helmet on with the horns on it, I'm pretty sure he wasn't a member of the Republican Party, but who knows?
Yeah, it's I think what you and I are having our difficulty is I tend to look. The reason why I feel this way, and I'll go back to the history of it, is I was looking at it must have been in high school. We're doing history of World War I, right? And we start going through the battles, and we talk about how it started, and you know, Archduke Ferdinand. This is the greatest. This would happen to a. Our buddy Thomas, you know, if he was an assassin, these guys are going to assassinate Archduke Ferdinand, and he drives by in this open-air car, and somehow, how did they manage to screw that up? They either weren't ready or the gun didn't go off or something.
They missed him. They missed him on the route, and he they either altered the route or they were in the wrong place, and then he shows back up again.
Yeah, so get a load of this, mate. They're sitting there all pissed off that they missed the guy. He turns around and drives right by him again, and they shoot him. So it's like the world's so everybody would, you know, we're learning that this started World War I and blah blah blah. And one day, a couple years later, I find in my parents' basement, my stepfather liked to read heavy stuff too. So it was something about the downfall of the dynasties or something. And I start reading this book, and I went through there was five sections of the book. It was a Hohenzollerns. Who were they? They were Germans, right?
Yes.
And then there was who were the guys that were in Austria? What the hell was the name of that group?
The Ottomans?
Yeah, no. There was the Ottomans. There was Austria. Who were those guys? There was the whatever the family was that ruled that place. Then there was the Romanovs, and then somebody else, the people in France. And they went through the entire history of like the 20 years before, and how the economies were growing, but it was so economically uneven. There was a massive arms race. There was all this stuff piling into this cauldron. And the one little spigot on the bottom, to think that the cauldron blew up because of Archduke Ferdinand was about the most naive thing anybody could ever say. It was heading down that road on a collision course for 20 years, and finally it blew.
But I think the consensus is that even today, we still don't understand exactly what triggered the response by these idiots that generated this domino effect of all these treaties coming into play and these mutual aid and defense treaties. And I think your comment is exactly correct. They were already lined up to slug each other. They just needed some kind of an excuse. Nobody was willing to sit back and say, well, this is a stupid reason to go to war. They all wanted to go to war.
They all wanted to go to war. It was like the guy, William Kennedy, when he talked about why we dropped the bomb on Japan. And he said, well, he had spent such a fortune on the bomb. And it was the momentum. What he said, events were in the saddle and they drove the men hard, which is an interesting line.
I don't agree with that. I think I think the reason we dropped the bomb is because the public sentiment about Japan and the atrocities that the Japanese had committed, the issue of Pearl Harbor.
Don't disagree.
The fact that no president would have survived if the public learned we had a weapon that could have ended the war without an expenditure of one further American life, and we didn't use it.
I don't disagree, but there's also, well, let's not talk about that. That's a subject for another day. By the way, weren't we supposed to be talking about water rights today? And then there was a big riot yesterday. We had to kind of change
things. Well, let's talk about again some more guard stuff.
The
Army National Guard, an Army National Guard unit, is much more of a dual purpose unit than the Air Guard, because the Army stuff, they're troops on the ground that could be used in riot control, disaster relief. They have vehicles that could be used in both capacities, and so if you call, generally when you talk about calling out the Guard, you're calling out the Army Guard to come out and do their thing. And again, in D.C., the mayor does not have the authority of a state governor. So she can't just unilaterally say, I want the Guard out on the streets.
Okay. I want to shift a little bit to what Maddie and I were arguing about, and I think a lot of what you saw in World War One had to do with economics. And I think right now, and I, you know, it's, first of all, I'm extremely happy that a lot of my friends, Maddie included, have managed to do economically fine during this, well, for the last 20 years. I mean, Maddie was only 15. So, I mean, have managed to do pretty well. But I see a lot of other people, I mean, a great lot of other people that are not. And it comes down to a little bit of a nick. Every single time people aren't doing so well, or their families aren't doing so hot, and you're seeing a government now at every level that's doing nothing but nicking you every which way they go. And now, last week, by the way, we're going to take people who haven't gotten a raise in 10 years, and we're going to start charging them $35 if they're 6 miles over the limit on their street as a way to get money back. And we're going to see other fees going up. I mean, here at PTI, we have to register in every state that we have a client. All right, that was up a bunch since last year. I mean, are people's commissions for doing a trade up? No, they're not up. They're down, right? Because everybody's down to nothing for charging for a trade, pretty much. Okay, so, but yet the states feel that they deserve more money from brokerage firms. Okay, well, that's interesting, but they do. I mean, wherever you are, I'll say one thing to Mr. Weber. And I'm not going to argue with him, you know, because I love arguing with him, but because I learned something, I hope he does too. Is what I'm saying is, in the last 20 years, we've got the median income in this country has gone from, I think their number is low here, so I'm going to go higher, 31,000 in 2000, and now I've got it at about 37, maybe 38. So it's up 20%. The GDP is up 120%, the nominal GDP. Now there's some inflation in there. Now I'm going to say, if you run this out another 10 years to where the average person is up 10% and his costs of doing business or his costs of the world are up whatever, you're going to have a problem. Plus, I think Lou, you can tell me I'm nuts on this, is when the economy is growing a legitimate 3 or 4%, inflation adjusted, there's not that much stress between the person who's making 5 or 6 or 8. People are going to say, that guy's pretty smart. He invented whatever, a barbecue sauce that everybody loves, and I don't care if the guy makes $1 million. I wish he would. Okay, that's not a problem for me. Okay, but when the economy is zero, all right, or damn near close to it, every time somebody gets a raise, people feel that the reason why Joe got a raise is because I didn't. And you know what? They're not wrong. I mean, you look at what happens. Take the companies that are paying this median income right now. If you look at the salaries of the people up top in the last 20 years, aided and abetted by government, because it's okay, I bet they're up four times, Lou. I mean, so every time right now, when you have an economy like we have right now, every time somebody sees somebody with a raise, they say, how did that guy get it? Has he got a nose up the ass of government, or what's happening to him? I'm not about to say that any of the idiots yesterday had anything on their mind, but God knows what was on their mind, just being idiots. But the point, or whatever, or Trump telling, I don't know. I don't, honestly don't know, but time will go, maybe we'll know. But what I'm saying is, if this goes on for another 10 or 15 years, this will be an everyday occurrence. This will be, and when you get the buffoon, congressman that were on CNN, where I was watching yesterday, because CNBC shifted over to something, maybe it was CNBC. MSNBC, the congressman going, man, these guys are interrupting the people's work that we do like slaves on Capitol Hill. Hey, stop that. There isn't a person in this country that thinks these guys do more than 5% of the work for people. The other 95% is lining their own pockets. I'm not talking about.
This goes back to my comment that I'm glad these guys got a little taste of what was happening in the cities this summer. You know, and the concern, for example, that I had and my wife had driving in downtown Denver, where you could be in the middle of a flash mob of people rioting, and people were. With no warning and no understanding of what had happened and no ability to defend yourself because the cops weren't there. The cops had been told to stand down.
Right.
To me, this was, again, I'm not going to condone it, but it was perfectly understandable. You had a process, an election process that looked staged. There was no transparency on it. The failure of the people to respond to it, and I'm gonna pin a certain amount of the anger on President Trump. He whether he knew it or not, or whether he was doing it in a calculating way, his imprecise language and his inflammatory words fanned some of this stuff.
I think a lot of it.
The main push on this was a lack of transparency on these elections. A lack of ability of ordinary people to understand exactly what had happened with their votes in a number of places. The deliberate suppression by Twitter and Facebook of certain points of view. So you had frustration building up, and then the lockdown. You had frustration building up eight ways from Sunday. And by the way, when I say lockdown, I'm specifically referring to the inconsistent and clearly one-sided application of lockdown requirements. Versus our elites who time and time again have indicated that, you know, these rules are for the little people and not for us. Some of that frustration is what you saw in the demonstration. Now, the guys going into the Capitol, again, a relatively small part of that body. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, those guys just look like hellraisers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, and the same elements that were present in the riots downtown. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday saying, you know, this mirrors what you saw with legitimate Black Lives Matter protests that suddenly morphed into riots, statue toppling, and all this stuff. By an element that I don't think the Black Lives Matter people even knew was in their group, but notwithstanding that, what happened yesterday was bad, but you know every cloud has a silver lining, and I hope that somebody in Congress kind of looked around and said, okay, we haven't seen this before in our history. What caused this? Why were these people here?
Well, that's my point. You have to dig deeper than just the lunacy of one day.
Yeah. I know. And you had 75 or whatever it was, million people voting for, you know, one candidate, and then who have a very, I think many of them have a very definite feeling that they are promptly going to be shut out of everything. This is an all or nothing proposition. There's no spirit of compromise on the other side, and you know we're going to see some stuff enabled that is absolutely inimical to our way of life and our worldview. And whether they're correct on that, I don't know, but I think that's the perception. And you shouldn't be surprised that you get this kind of reaction if that in fact is the perception.
Well, the two things that I will absolutely agree with Mr. Weber on, and disagree with the Trumpers, is at the end of the day, Trump didn't do anything to help these people. He spoke about it, but he didn't do anything. I mean, he actually made things worse in a lot of ways. So his performance is different.
He articulated.
Yeah, well, it's
a lot of their viewpoints.
Well, it's right. And it's like, how many people, the last five people who ran for president, ran essentially not on a platform number that said that prescription drug prices are going to come down? They've gone up in every single administration, Trump included. I mean, it's like people hear this and I hope it goes in one ear and out the other, because clearly, I mean, something has to happen. And I'm not into guns. I'm not into riots. The political process right now, it's impossible. I'm going to say it is. It's impossible for our particular democratic way to deal with big companies right now. We can't do it. We have not done it for 30 years. We can't do it. And our people are so friggin' blind. Every year they look at Social Security up 1%, drug prices up 5%, 6%. And that's not even including the buying up the generics and making them non-generic again. It's not
Your common theme, and whenever I seem to get on, is antitrust.
No, I'm reach saying back, whatever it is, Luke. Back, whatever it is.
Back, let me make the analogy.
Yeah.
Reach back to your knowledge of history in the 1890s and early 1900s, before Roosevelt and Senator Sherman get into the act down there, and look at the influence of these large corporate entities, and think to yourself, are we seeing something similar now?
Yeah, the difference is, Lou, is that was the first time through. That was the first time through. We should know better this time. I mean, I would say
that was the first time through, and the techniques have gotten better for evading that kind of government control. And the flip side of that, and this is even more dangerous, is that our regulatory state has become so big and so involved in every aspect of life in the United States that if you can influence the regulatory state through political connections and use it to generate your business for you and boost your business, then you've got now you are talking more fascism.
No, look at the difference.
Capitalism.
I'm going to go off the rails here a little bit. I hope you're with me on this. I'm going to go off the rails. I'm going to use the railroads. The first big monopolies in this country were railroads. Well, there was steel and other kind. I mean, other but furs, and nobody cared too much about furs. At least I didn't. But the railroads, we gave the railroads 20% of the land in this country, the five Western railroads, to build the railroads. That's how much we gave these guys to sell for money to make the railroads. All right, I don't know if I could go through that someday, but not today. So let's get this straight. So you put in the Weber to Michaels Railroad from Weber, Pennsylvania to Michaels, Maryland, and you give somebody a monopoly for that railroad. Now there's no other roads, right? So they got a railroad. And Chief the Farmer comes up and says, I got a bunch of corn. Would you guys carry my corn? And they go, sure. How much? How much you got? it became obvious very, very rapidly that this was not going to work. So he ended up with this massive governmental group, which was the Interstate Commerce Commission, which essentially said, no, wait a minute. If you're going to move somebody's corn 50 miles in this place, it's going to be the same price as moving it in this place, and it doesn't matter where you got a road next to you in competition and you don't. We're going to do this in a way, because we have this monopoly we gave you, we're going to have to regulate prices, which was very inefficient, but at least it was a governmental response to something that they created a monster and they didn't know what to do with it. Now, I'm not saying I want an Interstate Commerce Commission back, but now look at the drug companies. Now you've got a situation where, okay, we declare patents. By the way, we pay for half the, in some cases, we're paying through the universities and stuff for half the research, okay, or some of the fundamental research or whatever, or we're the one who's letting the kid go through.
That's actually a relatively small part of the cost.
Okay, but whatever. But I'm saying we're paying for a lot of the research or people going, whatever. So the point now is we've got drug companies that, well, we'll charge $5,000 for this one, we'll charge $2,000 for that one. There's no equivalent of an Interstate Commerce Commission. Not saying I want it in the drug area that says, okay, wait a minute. You spent X on research on this thing. Don't give me everybody's salary for the last 30 years. You spent X on research. And, oh, by the way, it costs you $5 for this pill, and you're charging $5,000 of being an extreme scale. You can't do that. At least the railroads, the government came up with something and said, no, you can't charge somebody to go 50 miles here because there's not a road. The same price you're charging another guy to go 1,000 miles because there happens to be an interstate highway next one. There weren't an interstate highway, but a highway next one. You can't do that. So there was this massive infrastructure to Now, granted, over a period of time, were they charging too much? Probably. The same way with airfares. But at least there was this response to what was essentially this monopolistic activity. But now in the drug areas, all you do is stuff everybody's pockets in government with the dough. Even in state legislatures now, they're paying people off in the senator and representative level. And guess what? There's no spanking at all here. They charge you every damn well please out of U.S. patent. Lou, this is crazy. It's crazy. And it's happening in every industry, for God's sake. Anybody
well,
who thinks...
From my perspective, it's actually happening. The most pernicious aspect of it is it's happening in the information industry.
Yeah,
And I mean, getting drugs are bad enough. But when you are literally depriving, you know, 75 million people of a voice in there and suppressing their point of view on these large public platforms of Twitter and Facebook and other social media, then you're not the drug issue is bad enough, but the suppression of free speech, the suppression of the sort of marketplace of ideas in one direction, I think just fuels frustration in tenfold. And so again, we have to have some kind of a capacity to step back and recognize that is what's fueling so much of this craziness. And I will say this. The guys that were there in Washington, D.C. yesterday had watched 8 months of riots and burnings and vandalism with no real police response. What they saw were people being arrested and then promptly being released on bail. Much of it, by the way, funded by the vice president-elect of the United States and her organization. They immediately saw prosecutors dropping charges. They saw people coming back over and over again who had been arrested, clearly guilty, allowed to go back out on the street the next day and do the same thing all over again. They saw a police response that did not deal with the violence. And so they said to themselves, you know what, I'm going to go up there and I'm free to operate like this because we're not really afraid of the police anymore and we're not afraid of the public response. And the commentary that is coming out now about what happened yesterday I feel that the people who were quiet during the BLM riots and the Antifa riots and all the other stuff that was going on in cities across the country, the statue toppling and everything else that said nothing about it at this stage or said virtually nothing about it, have very little ground to say, well, this is an outrage and I'm, you know, horrified, et cetera, et cetera. I think that ground, that moral high ground, has been ceded. And so, again, I think it was a terrible mistake what these guys did, the breaking into the Capitol. I think it's going to create all kinds of problems for the cause that they ostensibly wanted to promote.
Yeah, they screwed themselves over. Sure they did.
But I think, again, the people in power needed to get a taste of what was going on, and again, our ruling elites needed to get a taste of what was going on out in their communities, and this is a pretty good indication of it.
Well, it's still going on. I mean, look at the carjackings in our neighborhood, Matty. I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, oh, we got to go, Lou. SP futures up 20, but since the market has become the opiate of the people, just keep pouring money in there, and as long as it goes up, everybody's going to be happy. NASDAQ futures up 102. I'm happy, by the way, because my clients are happy. So it's not like I'm rooting against it. I'm just saying I hope it doesn't all come tumbling down someday, or if it does, I'm ready for it. We'll be right back. Lou, happy new year, bud, and we'll talk to you next week.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. It's Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 20, NASDAQ futures up 108. We're trying to get Mr. Dan Janitis to talk about what these little pop-up in these long-term rates means and what that means for people being in, trying to get into long-term stuff. I mean, obviously, I have a lot of clients. If we ever get back to the spot where you can buy a good solid bond at 6%, people probably won't want any part of the stock market at that point, and but surely we're not there yet. Matty, have you ever seen a time, even because you're not 20 anymore, where things are screwed up as they are now?
Where things are as screwed up as they are now. I think things have just slowly gotten worse and worse and worse every year, more than the next. So probably not. It's like the Office Space line where he says, "Every day I go to work is worse than the day before. So every time you see me, you're seeing me on the worst day of my life."
That's my, you know, you're not, because you know, you and I joust back and forth. And by the way, I learn a lot from that, so I thank you for it. But the weird part is you need to be a cockroach on the wall, or I'll say a fly on the wall. You're not a cockroach. When I'm beset by the people on the other side, and how they don't understand what the hell I'm talking about either. I mean, and to me, it's the other side. They're like, we don't want it. We don't want these socialist people to run the place. We don't want this. And I go, look what's happened to your economy. Do you think for a second that this is any kind of competitive capitalism? What do you think this is? That's what these other people are looking at this, and they're going, this isn't competition. I don't have a chance here. I can't break into this. The people who, everybody's not participating. I mean, how is it that only one or two people in a whole country, in a whole company get a raise every year? I mean, maybe I'm just as vehement against the other side as I am against people who, you know, the liberals think I'm fighting against them. I fight harder against the other guys because I think both sides really better open their eyes, because the truth is absolutely somewhere in the middle. We got to fix them. This economy is not anything that I remember where individual people could actually compete and stuff. Look at the industry I'm in. We're down to three or four people making all the money that 1,000 people used to make. You think that's fair? That's legit? That they haven't. I mean, the idea of getting a preferred feed from an exchange, so you get to see the stock that traded in New York faster than the next guy and can put him out of business. That is so anti-competitive, anti-anything to me. You know, I see it every day. I mean, this, if you open your eyes, there is so much to be pissed off about. It's almost scary. I mean, how is it? What if in your business, all of a sudden, I mean, there's a few competitors in this place, but I'm going to say that you still have pretty competitive in your industry, right? It's
Yeah, definitely. My main competitors, there's five or six of them globally. There's a lot more than that, obviously, if you expand, you know, cybersecurity in general. But just my specific niche that what we sell, there's about five or six competitors, and it's very competitive.
Well, what would you do now, fast forward 15 years, and there's two or three firms left, that the guys who run those firms make $100 million a year, and you haven't gotten a raise in 10 years? How are you going to feel?
Not good. I mean, that's when we talk about income inequality, we've been talking about that for my entire lifetime, probably since the 80s specifically, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse over the last 40 years. No doubt about it.
And I mean, at some point, what I'm saying is people are not going to take it lying down.
Well, I mean, I would have voted for Bernie if you really wanted to solve income inequality, but no one really wants to solve it. They just like talking about it.
I'm not for equality.
If you really want to redistribute wealth, then you don't give tax breaks to the rich like Trump did for the last 4 years and kill everybody else while the top, you know, the Jeff Bezos of the world make more and more and more and everyone else makes less. That's why yesterday and what you're saying is so misguided, in my opinion.
Well, it's misguided for yesterday, okay? But it's not misguided.
Yesterday is simply a group of people that their side didn't win. They lost by 7 million popular votes. They lost by, you know, 306 to 232 electoral college votes. It wasn't even close. And yet they feel like it was stolen from them. And so they went and pouted on the Capitol Hill. And then, like Lou said, which I agree with, there's always some bad actors in every group. And the police are always on the side of the Trumpers. And so they basically let them in. And they destroyed some property for a while. One lady got killed, which is never good.
Was she one of the people who piled in there? I assume so.
Yeah, I think she was a Trumper that got shot by the police. I don't know if it was by mistake or if she did something. I don't know the details on that. I'm sure we'll learn more about that as things develop.
It's gonna be on somebody's video thing. Everybody's video.
There was a couple of bombs that were found, which is never good. What pissed me off more than anything was basically everyone there is carrying a Trump flag and or a Trump hat, or they're carrying a Confederate flag, or wearing some sort of anti-Semitic shirt. White supremacy shirt, tattoos, things like that. And that's what disappoints me more than anything.
Sure.
You know, that's it.
But Manny,
nothing deeper than that. And the fact that we spent the last hour justifying it.
I did not justify anything.
Well, when everything is, well, what they did was wrong, but then what is everyone doing?
What
it was for the last 60 minutes.
I'm saying
I don't condone yesterday, but What is that exactly?
My point is that when things are unequal.
No, first answer my question. What is that then? If it's not justifying it or excusing it, what is it?
No, I'm saying it's part of a whole. It's an awful part of the whole.
The whole of what?
The fact that an awful lot of people do not feel.
So for the last 4 years under Trump, things got better for them, and now it's going to get worse again?
Because
that would be highly incorrect.
The idea would for Trump, somebody like Trump, as I said the day the guy got elected. I like the idea of somebody from the outside finally coming in. I can't stand
it. All right, and you saw it for 4 years, which is a long period of time. What did you see?
What I said was, I would wish it wasn't him because I don't think he's going to accomplish anything, and he didn't.
Right. So then you have 100,000 people or however many it was, maybe more, maybe less. It's hard to tell. That were sad that he lost. Okay. Which is weird. I mean, I can't imagine if my political candidate on either side lost me showing up and storming the Capitol, but I guess I have things to do.
I can't imagine that either.
I have things to do in my life. But so their candidate lost, and so what you're saying is that since the economy is so bad for them that if Trump would have won, they still would have stormed the Capitol building.
No, I never
because
said that.
The economy is so bad for them.
What I said is look at yesterday as, okay, these guys are a bunch of morons, and they shouldn't have done what they did, and the police should have been there, and they shouldn't have got in.
Well, the police are on their side.
I don't
they let them right in.
That.
You think the police could have stopped that at any moment if they wanted to. Watch the videos. They let them right in.
Yeah, I have no idea.
They have their Blue Lives Matter flags, and the police like that. The police were taking selfies with them, for God's sake.
How many? You know what? Man, that's what I was trying to ask Lou. I have no idea how many people busted into the place. And I don't know how many people are in the Capitol Police. Is it 100? Is it 200? I mean, if there's 5,000 people behind it, I have no idea what. I didn't see anything from the beginning of this. Did you? I didn't. All I saw was after.
All I've seen is what everyone else has seen.
I saw
the coverage on TV.
I saw a million people hanging around. A million people. There's an awful lot of people hanging around on the steps. And I saw films of people that entered the place. And it looks like most people didn't enter the place. But I don't know. I have no idea what the numbers are, and I have no idea. I mean, I honestly don't know. I was on Capitol Hill twice. I remember a few security people, but I don't know that there was enough.
Well, anytime there is an organized event at Capitol Building, especially when, you know, Congress is in session for an important thing that they do every 4 years, they have extra security. It's not a normal day. So they had thousands of people there because they would.
They had thousands? I didn't see anything like that before the things.
I don't know the exact number, but any time that there's an event, a march or a demonstration at the Capitol building, there's going to be extra security, obviously.
Well, I wouldn't think there'd be 50 like the day I was there, but yeah, I never saw the thousands. I mean, do they have that kind of personnel? I mean, I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question. I would have guessed that with that going on, you should already have had extra people there and you know, just in case.
Right, and I think they did, but like I said, the police let them in. In certain areas, did they get overrun? Possibly. But in my opinion, I mean, just by the videos I saw, they let them walk right in.
By the way,
they were taking selfies with them. And you know, I think that's hard to stomach for a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
Especially if you're an African American person who gets shot by the police every day. It's probably really hard for you to swallow when you see that.
There have been studies
knowing that they probably would have dropped bombs and flown helicopters in if that was a black people storming the Capitol.
There are people that did some good study work, BW before Webby. Life didn't start with you or with me. From the riots in '68. There was a group, somebody, I don't know, to help put them together, the president or somebody, or Congress. They said, okay, what do we do when we have riots? Which yesterday was a mini riot, right?
Sure.
And they said was the one way you have to deal with it is to, and this is what I've been saying all along about the Chicago stuff and the incompetence of our people here, is you have to anticipate it happening. You have to keep your ear to the ground, which now means, you know, a lot of electronic media, and you have to meet at the beginning of the riot, you have to meet with sufficient and overwhelming force so it doesn't get out of hand. So yesterday, when the first 50 people or over 100 people said, hey, maybe we should pile our way into the Capitol, if there would have been 300 or 400 people already standing around the place, it probably wouldn't have happened.
Probably, yeah. I don't know how many people were standing around the place.
I don't know the numbers. Right? All I saw was what you saw.
It seemed
a bunch
to me
of people
that
hanging
it was
outside.
Funny.
But I don't think the people running around with their phones in the air are going to be people that are going to bust through a police line.
Joe writes in, Matt, your dismissive attitude is exactly why there will never be unity. One, I would say...
See, I'm finding her after you now. How does it feel?
Well, it's fine. One, I would say the polarization and the whole what we've seen the last 4 years has nothing to do with me. I can promise you that. Secondly, I don't know what my dismissive attitude is. I just literally said you had a group of people that are mad that their political candidate lost. And instead of mobilizing and selecting the next candidate to get behind, they're pouting and storming the Capitol, and it hasn't happened since 1812.
Someone has
tried to storm the Capitol and tried to
decide
an election. I mean, it's insane to me. I don't know what's dismissive about that. I just can't imagine ever doing that. I also, guess what? I can't imagine, if I had voted for, you know, Obama or Mitt Romney or Hillary or Biden or whatever, I can't imagine wearing a hat and waving a flag and driving around in my truck either, because this whole cult thing is insane to me. Is that dismissive? I don't know. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me.
In the Irish neighborhood, we all had Kennedy for president things in our yard.
And a political sign during the campaign season leading up to an election in your yard, I guess, is one thing. And then after the day after the election, you take it out of your yard. This whole idea of wearing a hat and waving a flag and all this, I just can't imagine that on any side. It makes no sense to me. It's clearly some sort of cult, and now they don't know what to do because their guy got voted out, you know, got trounced essentially in the election by 7 million votes.
Two things. I'm not a massive fan of the dude, although I'll tell you what, he has some amazing talent in terms of. I mean, there's actors and actresses I don't like, but I'll tell you that.
Anyone who wins a presidential election has amazing talent.
No, I'm not talking about him.
He's one of 45.
I'm not talking about him. I was talking about Michael Moore.
Filmmaker.
You haven't heard boo from this guy from, I don't know, he's even still alive. But
two
things he did I thought were absolutely spectacular. One was when we invaded Iraq, him standing out in front of Congress asking the congressman to sign a petition that the congressman's kids go first.
Which I loved.
Which I thought was... But when he did a video on why Trump was going to win the election. and why, you know, Trump was an idiot, but he was going to win the election. And I booed the guy at Cubs Field, or whatever it was, Wrigley Field at the time, when he sang the national anthem, for God's sake. And I'll tell you, I thought the guy was nuts when he played catch with Sammy Sosa and it was 98 degrees and he kept his suit on and his collar button never came undone. And I thought the guy was nuts then, but there was something wrong with him. But anyway, and his wife's sitting in the dugout in a white outfit. But this had to do with...
By the way, how quickly does she leave him? Is it within 6 months?
Oh,
12 months?
I think a couple of weeks. But she's the brains of the outfit. Well, how many languages can she speak? We're better off with her as president, for God's sake. But what I'm saying, Manny, is that it has to do with... And I think you and our listeners should listen to it. Not all going to agree with it. It had to do with where my life was 20 years ago. And I had the house. I had the good job. I had... You know, he was up in Michigan doing this. And, you know, I gave the story a couple times when I went and bought my Secret Service truck up in Grand Rapids. And, you know, I love to do this, is to talk to people. I learn from everybody. If ever you want to learn about an area, the guy, he knew when I went up there, the air conditioning didn't work, kind of thing. So he said he'd fix it for me. So I drove to Grand Rapids the next Saturday. And we opened up on a Saturday for me. The first time I went up on a Friday, I think. And, I'll come down, even though I'm closed on a Saturday. So I head down there, and I spent an hour and a half talking to the guy. If you want to find out about an area and the people, talk to the used car guy. Nobody knows more than he does. Maybe the counter girl at the truck stop might or something, but he gave me a whole history of the area and how people had been making $35 an hour, and they all were laid off. This is in 2007, 2008. Everybody lost their job, and all of a sudden, virtually everybody had... now had a job back. These guys are in office furniture manufacturing mostly. Now they all had a job. The industry had moved back in the area. But now the salaries were 22, 23. And when I drove out from the area, I went down a couple of the side streets, man, just to check it out. And you could see by the houses that everybody's cutting the grass, place is neat, kids are behaved, nice neighborhoods. You look up on the roof, you see the roof, instead of being redone every 10 years, looked like it was about 12 or 13. You know, the windows looked a little shabby, even though they were clean. You could sense of what was going on in the area. And Michael Moore's, essentially, tape had to do just like this. I no longer have the bass boat. I don't have the second car. The kids are, you know, whatever, riding with other people's kids to school. They're carpooling or whatever. And, oh, by the way, now the wife divorced me. The only thing I have left in this country is my vote. And I'm going to vote. And this guy Trump's different. And he might do something totally different. But he's not one of the other guys. And that's why I'm voting for him. It made absolutely perfect sense. Didn't make Trump any better.
That made sense, and that was 4.5 years ago.
Didn't make Trump any better, but now.
And then nothing changed. Well, in fact, it got worse for those people. Now what?
All right, so now we're back to. It's not like the Democratic Party said, "Okay, we understand our screw ups. We understand how we're losing people in our own party, the union workers, the people that we used to care about. We've somehow morphed into this, you know." Public employee union kind of high tax crap place. Do you think that the union workers, like I was a Teamster when I was on a truck dock, do you think those people vote for this Democratic Party? I mean, they've lost their way. So, okay, Trump does such a horrible job, they drag some guy off the scrap heap and they put him back in there, and we're going to do 4 more years of Obama. Okay, nobody wants that, man. Nobody wants that. Except for the people who did very well under the Obama stuff. I mean,
I wouldn't say nobody wants that when he got 81.2 million votes, but the most in history.
But that's your choice, was those two.
Right.
What kind of a choice is that?
I don't disagree with you on that.
That's what I'm saying. Right now, there's nobody that's happy about this guy coming in. They're happy because Trump's gone. Yeah, I am too. But am I happy about an 80-year-old Joe? Oh, no, he's not 80, but I didn't like him when he was there before. Now I like him 4 years later and he's older.
Don't disagree with you. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
Well, it does to everybody else. It does if it's your business. It does if you get fired tomorrow, God, I hope you don't. Next week, you'll have a totally different view on this. I guarantee, or maybe next month.
A totally different view on what?
On the fact.
If my presidential, the person that I voted for loses, that I should riot and break stuff?
I didn't say.
No, that will not change.
What I'm saying is.
If I lose my job.
If your choice for the Cubs relief pitcher is you or me tomorrow in a game, we could have a million votes. It doesn't make either one of us a good pitcher.
Agreed. I'm not arguing against that. 100% agree.
I'm saying,
what does that have to do with anything we're talking about?
It has to do with the fact that people still feel, how am I going to get far? How all of a sudden is this going to get better for me?
Agreed. Yeah, I would like it to get better for everyone.
But it's not going. And I don't have any confidence in Biden doing it.
I don't either.
Yesterday's speech, I mean, actually, we had somebody that said, what would you say? Frank was all over me. I said, I'd say that if he was out there, what he should have said yesterday, as he said, in 14 days, I'm going to be your president. Don't worry about this guy anymore. It's me. And by the way, a lot of the reasons why some of you people, I think, went to the meeting, I'm not going to say the reason why you invaded the Senate. That's insanity. The reasons why you're here today, by the way, I feel it. I understand the income inequality. I understand all this stuff. I understand how even the vaccine inequality, that nothing we're doing for you is right now. And guess what? I'm going to do my best to make you think in 4 years that I did a good job for you and everybody. Just because you didn't vote for me doesn't mean I'm not your president. He didn't say anything like that.
He's been saying that for the last 12 months during his campaigning, that he's campaigning for all people. Now, whether that's true or not is another thing.
I'm dying to give him a chance, and I'll tell you what, if he does a good job.
But that doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. It's not like Trump lost and was never had a chance. He's been president for the last 4 years.
He's had
4 years to change these people's lives. He didn't change anything. He didn't change anyone's life. So this idea that they're just frustrated because their lives were so good the last 4 years and now they're bad again, they're not.
No, but is there, in the immortal words of our buddy Dr. J, he goes, I'm a Republican. He said, but if I could vote for Obama again, I would. Nobody's done more for the one percenters than those people.
Except for Trump. Who reduced the corporate tax rate by 15%? I mean, who cut all regulation for Fortune 500 companies?
I wish he'd have done more in our industry.
Well,
God, I wish he'd have done more in our industry.
I don't disagree with you on that, but this idea that he's done anything for the poor and the middle class is insanity.
I just said the guy did a horrible job.
It devalues your whole argument.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. So the 100,000 people that were on the lawn yesterday, like I said, if he would have won, they would have still been on the lawn yesterday, according to your argument, because they're fed up with the economy and their situation.
Those people feel that he was never given a chance by the Washington insiders that are there. And he was never given a chance by the press. Now, I think, like you, that 95% of it was his own doing, his own misdoing. I'm with you on this 100%, 95%. But I also think it's absolutely wrong, since I try and look at both sides, I think it's absolutely wrong that the guy can't get a page anywhere in the press about the advances that have been made in the Middle East, what that Pompeo has done. I think the guy's done more in the last 8 months than people have done in 25 years.
And how do you know that he's done more? Because you read about it in the press.
I get off.
So did he get a press page or not? Otherwise, how would you know?
It's not front page.
He didn't get a press about it in the page, yet you know about it because you read about it in the press.
Manny, are you comparing me, who does this every morning with you, and I love doing it partially because you're here? Do you think that you can compare me getting a piece of news like that to every man?
I don't know. I don't know what other people read.
You think for a second that some of the stuff we talk about...
I think the people that were at the White House or the Capitol building yesterday, I don't think they read anything that you read. I think they all read Breitbart
and their
websites, and I'm sure they know all about the Middle East.
What I'm saying is, what I'm saying is the stuff that... The fact that, Israeli jets can fly over, passenger jets can fly over Saudi Arabia to Qatar, and Saudi Arabia buried the hatchet to a certain extent. That's huge news, man. It's huge news. In a normal time, that would be all over everybody's paper. We'd be giving these guys kudos like there's no tomorrow.
Any advancements in the Middle East, I'm all for. Any positives that Trump has done, I'm all for. I was thrilled with his withdrawal of troops that he did a couple of years ago, because I don't like the idea of troops being deployed all over the world. I've never once said everything he's done is bad.
But you don't come out and tell.
But the idea that during a global pandemic and shutdowns and COVID, and then you had the Black Lives Matter stuff and all of that, this idea that some small accomplishment in the Middle East is going to be in front of those stories in the U.S. I mean, it never had been. It never will be.
Don't disagree. But my point is that he shot himself in the foot. You don't tell everybody in the press they're a moron and then expect them to be nice to you. I know that. I'm from the South Side, right? He shot himself in the foot. He stopped us in my lifetime of ever having a president from the outside.
I'm on this show every day. And 99% of our contributors are right wing, and 99% of our listeners are right wing. I mean, I run the Twitter, I run the social media, I've listened to you guys every single day, and I never once have thought that I was smarter than anybody, that I knew more than anybody else, and I agree with a lot of the points. I truly do. I have no problem with people voting for George W. Bush. I had no problem with people voting for Mitt Romney. When people voted for Trump in 2016, I didn't understand it, but I take that back. I didn't agree with it, but I understood it. In 2020, voting for him again after 4 years, when our country has been run into the ground on so many different levels, that really didn't make
sense.
That has nothing to do with what happened yesterday. Now that going forward, if your candidate loses, you get to claim that it was a thrown election, and you get to storm the Capitol building and start pulling guns on. That's insane.
It's not much different.
We might as well be in Venezuela or Peru.
If policemen do something absurd, which they have on a few occasions, and some of the occasions where people have been shot, it's debatable as to what went down. Some cases not so debatable. Why does that give anybody the right to steal other people's property in the city and bust up people's camera stores? Same thing. It's the same goon mentality.
I never once endorsed or agreed with anyone damaging property or violence in any way. However, I will not sit here like the people on the show and speak for African American people and how they feel when in their neighborhoods, what they see every day. And how they feel like they're treated completely differently by institutions, including the police. I really certainly can't relate to that as a straight white male. But I don't condone, damaging property. That said, I totally understand that they felt like they'd had enough. I don't think there's any connection between that and what happened yesterday.
It happens when people do stuff that they shouldn't be doing and say it's because somebody did something to them. I mean, the person who is wronged by the police someplace is probably not the guy who was in a Macy's aisle grabbing stuff, right?
Right. He's probably dead.
Well, there's all kinds of levels on all these areas, Manny. There's problems in the African American community that are from the outside. There's problems from the inside. The fact that 85% of the murders in this country are black people and black, in this city, black people and black people, and it's 20% of the population, or 25. There's something wrong there.
Absolutely.
I mean,
if you reverse the conditions and put the white people in those neighborhoods, took their money, took their opportunity, I think the violence would switch right along with it.
Well, I'm going to say that in a lot of areas,
and you put the black people in Lincoln Park and gave them a job and an education, I think it would switch right along with it.
The idea that the families have fallen apart and the dads don't stay home, I didn't cause that. You didn't cause that. Why is that? Why is all of a sudden the culture decided that's the way things are?
I have no idea.
The demise of the African American family. I think that some of the rules and programs that came in the 50s made that worse. But still, it comes down to one person getting somebody pregnant and leaving. We're talking about somebody who's over the age of 21 or certainly Laser Region 7. Why do people do that? Why do people decide they have 5 kids in 5 different states? Not like no white person's ever done it. I mean, I'm sure they have, but I mean, and we don't, and I don't have to take care of any of them. And where does that come from? I mean, how many terrific families are African American all over the place? The operative word there is family. Now, it isn't to say that the moms can't raise a family, because they do. I mean, your mom did, my mom did for a while. My dad died, but I mean, it's not what you want to have happen for an entire community, is it? Where the kids, babies are with the grandparents and they're getting money for it. I mean, this is crazy, man. But a lot of the cure has to come from the outside and from the inside, and it needs to be a collaborative effort everywhere, right?
Well, I'm glad Trump solved it all in the last 4 years.
He didn't solve anything.
I'm glad he solved everything.
He didn't solve anything.
I'm sad he lost, because he solved everything.
Why out of the Democratic Party, which has been my party my whole life, why the Democratic Party, the last 2 times that I have Hillary and an advanced age Joe Biden is the only two people I could vote for.
It's an embarrassment.
Yeah, why can't we?
100% agree.
Where's Dan Inouye when we need him? Where's Paul Simon when we need him?
I think those guys are dead.
Yeah, well, yeah, but what's with the young? Why can't the young people in Congress make their way to the top and push out Schumer and Pelosi and McConnell? They somehow or another talk about a ceiling.
I think they're working on it.
I don't think they are.
I think they're working on it.
I hope they are, but I don't. I think the money goes to the top and the top control stuff.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
Anyway, S&P futures up 21. NASDAQ futures up 102. We'll be back, Mr. Frank Fahey.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Well, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Mitt Weber. S&P futures up 20.75. We continue to run the market up here. It's so we're doing something here. That part's good. NASDAQ futures up 104, Dow futures up 111. Individual, we had huge moves yesterday. Caterpillar was up massive, so was Goldman Sachs. I'd love to find out whatever the deal is between this current coming in administration and Goldman Sachs. The stock is up dramatically since this election. I mean, I don't know if there's something going on there. Why am I so cynical, Matty? I mean, why does the stock go up that much? They didn't even put a Goldman Sachs guy as Secretary of the Treasury, but I guess Janet Yellen is so a big firm friendly that it's the same thing. Dax up $50, 0.3%. FTSE up down 38.6%. NASDAQ around up 23.4, so kind of mixed and not so much over in Europe. However, a big rally out of Nikkei up 434, that's 1.6%. Shanghai up 25.7%. Hang Seng, however, down 143.5%. It says here the China telco shares went down. I still have trouble figuring out what it's going to mean over there with this Alibaba thing. I mean, I'm having trouble. I'm trying to follow that for the listeners and everything, but I'm going to say, Maddie and Frank, I'm a little confused at the outcome of that one, to be honest with you. We'll see how that goes. Bonds, 10, because we had people yesterday on CNBC, some of whom we've had on the show before, are saying everybody should go buy Alibaba. I mean, do they know something? I mean, did they talk to the Chinese dictator? I'm not sure. 10-year, almost 1.06% here. The Bund, minus 0.55. Japan, plus 0.04. It is the first move we've had over 1% in really kind of a long time, and we'll see how quickly that makes it to 2% if it does. Oil up 15 cents, 50.78. Brent down a penny, 54.29. Natural gas down a penny, 2.69. RBOB gas unchanged at 147. We had gold up 10.90 now, 19.19. Again, it was mid-1900s. Came cratering down, it's coming back up. Silver up 22 cents, 27.26. And copper's unchanged at 365. Platinum, somebody asked me yesterday, make sure I talk about platinum every morning. Platinum's up 360 to 1113. I don't know if that's high or low. I think it's high. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
39 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're very quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No accidents or issues to speak of. So if you're heading in, enjoy a nice, quiet Thursday morning commute. We do have a water main break that's caused a closure on Higgins Road between North Harlem and Nordica Avenue on the northwest side. And then out in the northwest suburbs, there is a crash at Bartlett Road and Route 59. But everything else is quiet out there. Weather today, cloudy early, and then we could see some sunshine peeking through later on this afternoon. Temperature will stay where it is right now. We're 37 degrees now, and we'll be 37 for a high. So it'll stay around this temperature for throughout the day. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 71 today. Right now it's clear and 43. In sports, NBA basketball, Bulls dropped to a game below 500, losing in Sacramento in a shootout 128-124. Suns beat the Raptors 123-115. Chief.
By the way, when you were off becoming Mr. Romantic and proposing to the lovely Jill, did you get a platinum setting or a gold?
I did a combination.
This is a yes or no question. How can it be both?
So the ring itself is a gold, and then the setting piece is platinum.
Really?
So yeah.
Why? Why is that?
I don't know. They just say it won't break as easy or something. I don't know.
Because I actually used to sell rings on campus, believe it or not, when I was in college. And I only sold a few, but because my stepfather was with Walmart. What was it? Waltham Watch and Hallmark Ring. So I actually had the catalog, and could get people at a really good price. I mean, the list price on a ring, in those days, I could buy the thing for like $500. The list price was like $5,500 or something. It was ridiculous. But a platinum setting, platinum was like $20 more. And I know poor Audrey, she'd never want to be like this, but there are people that are allergic to gold.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And platinum, I guess, is a, what do they call it? Frank, what's the metals that you can't be allergic to it? It's like totally, it doesn't react to anything?
Hypoallergenic.
Yeah, it doesn't react to anything. So, if
you have a platinum setting because of the high tensile strength, higher tensile strength of platinum, it'll hold the stone in.
But also, it's like you
Susan's a jeweler by training, a goldsmith.
Really? But you can't be allergic to it. I don't think, because it doesn't react to anything, does it?
Well, most react. I don't know. I'm sort of done with absolutes.
Yeah, I am too.
Trump is a total asshole.
Oh yeah, well,
but we can go on.
Yeah, we can do that. But yeah, I mean, there's a guy that doesn't know, he never knew the power of the presidency, he never knew the idea of when you say something from that spot, how it means stuff to people. I mean, obviously, to go back to...
He got into Penn, he had to know. He doesn't care, I don't think.
I don't think
more appropriate.
I don't think he studied much at Penn, just saying.
Well, somebody took the test, supposedly, for him.
The good news is... Our buddy, our former contributor to the show that now got a job where he can't, Mr. Tom Shanahan, went to Penn. So whenever he gets out of line, I go, gee, you know, Trump went to Penn, didn't he? You know, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, whenever I see somebody from Harvard, I say, didn't the Unabomber go there? You know?
Oh, I can tell you about some people that went to Notre Dame.
I was going
to
say, we probably have a few like that, but they're not national news, are they? Like the Unabomber, but... by the way, his house isn't his place the only complete house that's in the Smithsonian?
I have no idea. I haven't been to the Smithsonian for a while. I have a question, though. Are you concerned about Trump still having the nuclear codes?
No. I am concerned about he can still give people pardons. I bet he pardons everybody from yesterday.
Well, he better pardon himself real quick his kids.
Yeah, that's not a bit. Well, he did the son-in-law's father, right?
Right, but he ought to do his entire family and him today.
Can you pardon
because
yourself?
Because he might not be around tomorrow if the 25th Amendment kicks in.
They'll let him go 2 more weeks.
Oh, they're talking about they aren't happy about. The nuclear code.
You're not going to get nobody's going to drop a bomb because he said so. Our army's better than that, right?
Well, I thought senators or congressmen were better than that too.
Well, yeah, we got. We need to get some fresh blood someplace, Frank. I think in a lot of places. Am I totally wrong here? Didn't Nancy Pelosi say last time was her last 2 years? I was shocked when she ran again.
I don't know. I should check that out. I will check that out. I'll let you know today.
Because people just can't give up this power. And the people that put them there don't want them to give it up for some reason.
Well, I'm more concerned about Dianne Feinstein.
Why? What's
she's
she
the same age as you, me, and Kevin put together.
Yeah. Well, it's not like if something happens to her, they're not going to get a Democratic appointee out of California.
Well, that's how you get young people.
Well, I have a question. Russell really had a good idea. I mean, Russell's a pretty bright guy, and of what went down in the Senate with it being 50-50, and how, when they vote for the majority leader, the vice president will cast the deciding vote and will end up being a Democratic majority, so all the committees will be, Democratic people, but on a 50-50 deal, I mean, you've been there more than me. How exactly, I mean, how cumbersome is that if everybody has to show up to vote? I mean, every time there's a vote, no matter what it is, there's always a couple people that don't make it. I mean, not if it's a big, huge deal like Trump's medical thing when McCain somehow got there and voted, but I mean, it's on a day-to-day basis. How cumbersome is it going to be, 50-50?
It's not going to be real cumbersome because with the president of the Senate there, they control what gets voted upon and when it gets voted upon. So there's that parliamentary procedure that goes through. They'll just move the vote until they have 50 people and the president of the Senate there.
Well, but okay, but
and
that's another question. It leads me to question number two.
That's what McConnell did for years.
But what?
Okay, so there could be support for a bill, but it's not going to come to the floor
I'm talking about strictly logistics. It's like, what would happen if we took half the cans out of the Senate? You know, Maddie, what would you guess in the 8 to 10 years we've been doing the show? How many times has the vice president showed up in the Senate to gavel a thing to order? Less than 10.
When he has to.
Less than 10?
I don't know. I mean, I've honestly never paid attention to that.
I haven't either. I just assume they're never there, and except for if there's some.
I think they're just there for the big formal ones, right?
Yeah, I mean, so now does that mean that she has to actually have that job, or she's got to show up every day?
No, she needs to show up when when Schumer says, "Hey, we need your vote. When can you be here?" We'll schedule it then.
But
it's
going to be more than a once every 4 years show up for, you know, type of thing. I mean, she's going to have to be more.
You vote on 7 things at once, then.
Well, okay, but
it's just scheduling, Tom. It's no big deal.
All right, I'm saying she has to be more involved than people. I'm going to say if the Senate's 60-40 one way, the vice president never shows up. I'm asking a question. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, Johnson never stopped roaming the halls while he was VP.
Johnson was an unusual guy.
You think? But it was unusual times.
Maddie, when was the last time?
When I was born, there were still something like 40 people lynched in Mississippi. So, I mean, things change.
Maddie, when was the last time in a big meeting to prove a point with your company you pulled out your male appendage and dropped it on the table?
Hasn't happened in a while.
No. Lyndon used to do that once in a while.
I remember when IBM hired the first female computer salesperson in Kalamazoo, and that was in 1977. Things have changed a lot, Tom.
Yeah. I will say, if you're
remember when Notre Dame was all male.
So do I. It was my first year.
It was all 4 years of mine.
Yeah, it was my first year, and then even they screwed that up because the first girls that came in were the girls that had come in from St. Mary's because they were going to have the merger, and then they didn't.
Women.
Well, they were 18, 17, whatever. They were girls. Women. Now they're women. They're women now, for sure. The girls.
That's a mountain I'm not going to die on.
Yeah, that's the truth. Whatever. We were just guys, whatever. We were something. But anyway, it was. I think the place obviously got a lot better. I think the going co-ed.
I agree.
Absolutely saved my high school, Marist. And the man who did that was the man behind that whole... The man behind what Marist is today, not that there aren't all the people that have helped out, is Jimmy Tyree, the former head of Mesro Financial, who died way too early. One of the nicest guys
ever. He helped an awful lot of people.
Yes, he did. And the nicest man
I ever... He was a big supporter of Cristo Rey, the free Jesuit high school down on the south side.
Yep. And he was a guy that if you sat at a table and talked to him, you couldn't get him to talk about his problems. It was all about yours. No. I know what my issues are. I want to know what's affecting you and how can I help. How many people say that to people today? Not very many. We have people in Congress don't say that to people. I mean, that's why, you know, it's so weird.
People in Congress don't talk to us. They have 25-year-old legislative assistants that staff the office.
One of the interesting parts when I was on the board of the SIBO, and I'm not trying to hit anybody up with a political... things, but one of the nicest people I ever met, at least in the time I talked to them, because I met a few of these people, you know, just from the stuff with the SIBO, because we always had, I mean, to me it was somewhat of an innocent time, more innocent than now, Frank. I mean, if somebody came to town, Bratsky was big on this, Duke did it as well. We had a lady, Amy something was her name, and nice as can be, but she was into this politics stuff. And she made sure, and there was. And I found, Frank, there was nothing in my mind. There was nothing wrong with this. I mean, maybe that's just because I'm a Southsider. But if she knew that Senator Matt Weber was in town, she found him. She invited him over for breakfast. There was some board people there and some people from the trading floor. And if you wanted to get in, you could. And they had a breakfast. And he or she came by, and they talked a little bit about their stuff. But I think the deal was you could only give him $1,000. So I got news for you. I don't think you're really turning Speaker Foley or Phil Graham's. You know, you're not bribing somebody for $1,000. So that was the maximum. So we'd give them but they would sit there for 2-3 hours, answer any question, and it was a way for people to just find out. I mean, most of the people didn't know what the CBOE did, but somebody from our place would give a little presentation. This is what we do. This is what's important to us, and it was a way of educating people and learning from them. Well, we went one of these deals, and I bump into Carol Moseley Brown. And I'd seen her on TV. I wasn't that huge of a fan or whatever, but all of a sudden I meet her, and I couldn't believe, A, how physically attractive she was. I mean, she was a little, she wasn't, you know, twiggy, so on TV she always looked like she was heavy. She wasn't. And
you weren't Charles Atlas either.
No, well, absolutely. Well, without a doubt. And, so, out of all the people I've ever met, from in that side, I met some really nice people in politics. You felt that you were the only person in the room when you talked to her. Absolutely felt that way, and she was terrific at getting people from the people in our area. If you want to go for a tour, if your kid was in class, the class went to Washington. So all the right wingers on the board, if their kid was going to class, they'd call me up and say, hey, could you call Carol up? Because plus her assistant went to Mother Macaulay. And it lived, it grew up like a half a mile from me. So we, of course, were hit it off real well. So whenever anybody wanted to go to Washington, I'd always have to call her up and say, hey, I got another Republican buddy of mine. Doesn't want to call you. Can you send his class through the Capitol? I said, oh, no problem. She was, and then it came time for her to run again. And SIPO was in a huge quandary. They're like, well, she's a Democrat. We don't want to go for a Democrat. But everything we've asked her to do, she's done. So how the hell do we vote against her? They really, I mean, she did such a nice job for them or anybody around here. And I don't know what happened. She had trouble with the, I have no idea what she had trouble with the boyfriend took, who knows. But the fact is, I thought she was terrific. And,
as did I. You know who's actually, the same type of person that looks in the eye and listens? Durbin.
Really?
Yeah. I had a neighbor who is a political bigwig and, Elmhurst on the local, on the county level. And he had a special needs child that was going to Gallaudet out at the school for deaf. And he tried to get her a job on Capitol Hill as an internship because they needed to get one. And nobody would hire her except Durbin. And I'm talking about the Republicans from Illinois in D.C.
Really?
And Durbin did immediately.
Well, we had, Senator Matt Murphy was on before he quit maybe 3-4 times, and God, he was a terrific interview. Boy,
Matt, smart. Guitar Murphy from the Blues Brothers?
No, not that Matt Murphy. But I wonder, is that guy still alive?
Pardon me?
Is he still alive? The guy was in the Guitar Murphy and been in the Blues Brothers?
I can't imagine. He's older than us.
Yeah, it's a.
He's at the 19th hole for sure.
Yeah, so Frank, we've got the market. What did you make of the fact that the Russell was up like 4%? What exactly in people thinking Biden's going to do is going to make the Russell go flying up and the Nasdaq go flying down? Because yesterday was incredible. One was down 200 points in it or 1 point, and the other was up 4%.
I think they have a greater faith in the Fed stepping in to assist the states and local governments in getting the vaccine out there. And into people's veins. And what? I think that's a lot of it, which means the small businesses who primarily sell around locally or in a more confined geographic area will have a market and will have employees.
I was ranting yesterday. I mean, yesterday when we saw what was going on in Washington, I think the Capitol Police didn't do a very good job. I mean,
there aren't that many of them.
Well, why is it that this? I mean, we've talked now for a week. The vaccines are 25 nursing homes getting vaccinated today in Illinois? I think not. Well, and why not?
I don't know.
What is wrong with this? I mean, God help it if we don't put these people. Can you imagine if the current bureaucracy in the city and the state in Illinois, if we ever had them built a battleship, what the thing would look like when they were done? First, it'd take 20 years.
We subcontract it to a private sector.
Would it even float?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know about that. You ever see pictures?
Oh, ye of little faith, Tom.
Maddie, do you ever see pictures of ship launchings going bad? Go back like 100 years ago. They always film like a ship being launched, where they'll launch some ship and the thing just sinks. Where they just totally screwed the thing up.
Isn't the private sector wonderful? But that's the problem. We just have to get it out there.
But, I mean, why somewhere, I mean, to me, that was the one thing that I felt I learned at Pullman, Frank, is that when you're building a railroad car, whatever you're doing, it comes down to, I mean, you know, if you have doing something in your house, okay, the toilet doesn't work, I'm going to the Home Depot, I'm pulling the top off, I'm replacing the part. It's a very straightforward process. How is
it? Do you realize how many people can replace the guts of a toilet?
Not very many.
No, my kids can. My kids can change oil. Maddie, can you change oil?
I can, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Somebody taught you how to do it.
My grandfather
watched a YouTube video.
No, my grandfather taught me how to do it, but now you can't even do it on newer cars. I mean, they make it almost impossible.
Now, you see what Maddie just said?
And you got to buy the special tool from Snap-on.
Wait a minute.
Get that filter off.
Wait a minute, Frank. Now, Maddie Weber is getting very good at deflection. He's going to be a politician one of these days.
I'd vote for him.
I would, too. Because we could
he wouldn't be in the middle anymore.
No, we can watch him. Now, what Maddie didn't say, and I'm, this is my new thing now, is what people don't say is as big of a misnomer, is what he didn't say is that he's talking about new cars. The fact is, Mr. Weber drives a Mercedes. And so changing oil in a Mercedes is a science fair project. Now,
My car's not even that new. It's a 2011.
But now you could change the oil on my Suburban real easy. There's a plug on the bottom. You undo it, and out it comes, and you put it back in and put the oil in the
top. And your car's old.
Yes.
So what did I say that was wrong?
In fact, you can stand in the engine bay.
You couldn't do it on a 2021 Suburban.
I bet I could.
I bet it would be a pain in the ass to the point where it's not worth doing it when you can pay $30 and have it done.
Well, I don't really have a lift to lift that thing up.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's a.
Hey, but, I mean, I have a son who decided that we should be doing brakes, and it's amazing. You can do a brake job in about an hour if you have ramps to drive it up on.
You know what you can't do? This is incredible. Guess how much Audrey has the official Cadillac SUV that every real estate person has, right? They've got to be like the official car of lady real estate agents, which I give her no end of grief about. Guess how much...
the Rovers in the city, but go on.
Guess how much to change the front light bulb?
I have no idea.
Ready?
100?
Try about 850.
Whoa!
Go on YouTube and say... how to change a light bulb and whatever year the thing is, Cadillac X, whatever the darn thing is, XRT. You take the entire bumper off, the entire grill, down to some fenders you have to take off down in the wheel well. You have to take the wheel well thing off, the thing that is around the tire, to get at the headlight.
And you know what? Somebody's going to blame the union for that design.
Instead of just reaching in the back, pulling out the light bulb, putting a new one in. I mean, who could possibly have designed something like this?
Light bulbs are difficult now on newer cars.
Oh, absolutely.
Compared to the old ones.
Absolutely. I mean,
because lots of times I got to take out like lining on in the engine,
Frank,
you know, engine compartment.
Let's say let me conclude on something I think we can all agree about. Can we possibly have a quiet 2 weeks, a nice inauguration, and go on with doing something positive? Is that even possible?
Possible
no.
For me.
I sure can't. It's time.
If it's the three of us, yes.
But I think after yesterday, it's time for everybody to stand down. Let's just do things right. I mean, whatever. I just that was way over the top. And I think everybody who did it should feel sorry that they did it. And I mean,
everybody that did it should be charged. Everybody that went in and out of stores to be charged. Everybody that went into the Capitol should be charged too.
Maddie's,
and that's a transit of property right there.
Maddie's bid on eBay for the podium. You imagine having Schumer's podium in your house? That'd be kind of cool. Just saying.
I dropped the dime on you, Tom.
Oh God! All right, SP Futures up 19, NASDAQ Futures up 96. Let's hope no riots today. Very difficult to trade. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4966.